Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name is Patricia King. We have an exciting program for you today on miracles and missions. You know, any time that you go and fulfill the Great Commission, when Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," there is a blessing in it for you. There's a blessing on obedience. And oftentimes on the mission field is where you see big time miracles, and it's because you need them. We have with us today Marcus Young from Divine Inheritance. And Marcus, you're one of the champions, at least in my heart. You're out there on the mission field working with children at risk, child soldiers, and lots of other issues. Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, you've been you've come from a missionary family through many generations. Yeah. And you have lots of miracle stories because you are in times and seasons when you needed them. So tell us a little bit about your ministry. In a moment, we're going to show a clip, actually, of an astounding story about God's call on your life that actually got birthed generations ago.
Yeah, well, actually, I have 120 years of missions history.
120 which is, years.
Four generations, starting back with my great-granddad. And then my granddad and my father were born right on the mission field. I grew up on the mission field. And so it's just kind of saturated into my life. It wasn't something my folks ever tried to force me to do or said, "You're going to be a missionary when you grow up." But it was more something that they just, you know, just by being exposed, it grew right up in my heart and my
life. It's in your DNA.
That's right.
You know
DNA.
What, Marcus, when you just shared 120 years, This came to me. I think it's prophetic. The 120 in the upper room. That's, and it just reminded me of the upper room. And I feel that there's going to be a fresh outpouring of the Spirit upon you. Whoa. And your missions where heaven is literally going to open. Prior to the outpouring of the Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, they were tenaciously seeking God in obedience. And then suddenly the Spirit came in the measure that we see in Acts chapter 2. And I believe that because of your faithfulness in pursuing God, that there's a fresh outpouring of the Spirit coming to you.
I say yes. Yes and amen.
Well, Marcus, we're going to show the clip right now. We call it the donkey story, right?
Yes.
And this was from your, was it your great-granddad. Your great-grandfather.
Yeah.
And so let's go to that now and we'll come back and comment on it.
There is a story that begins over 120 years ago in the jungles of Southeast Asia. It is the story of William Marcus Young, who worked as a missionary pioneer in places where white men never set foot. A man of deep and fervent prayer, William passionately cried out for many years, "Lord, Lord, help me to win thousands and thousands of souls for you." Many difficult years passed with no breakthrough. But then one day in 1904, William Marcus was standing in the local city market preaching, gesturing with his open Bible gleaming in the sun and dressed in the white Western wear of the day. He unknowingly fulfilled an oral tradition held by a local tribe about a white man with a white book that would one day reveal the true God. The prayers of William Marcus were answered as thousands began coming into the kingdom of God year after year from this gentle tribe. Miles away, a tribe of headhunters were also soon to be introduced to the true God. A well-known tribal wise man spoke to 12 village elders and encouraged them to go on a trek to discover the true God. He laid his hand on a white donkey and said, "Follow this animal I have blessed." And follow it they did, across jungle-choked mountains and sudden valleys. After weeks of travel, the donkey led them to a well and stopped. William Marcus Young was down in the well, digging. The elders looked down and asked excitedly, "Can you tell us about the true God?" At that time, William Marcus had only a few tribal assistants, and he was already overwhelmed with the number of new believers in recent years. When the delegation begged him to return with them, he made this promise: "If I cannot come to you, my sons will come to you. If my sons cannot come to you, my grandsons will come to you. And if my grandsons cannot come to you, then my great-grandsons will come to you." Over 100 years later, the word of this righteous man was fulfilled when the great-grandson of William Marcus Young was sent by God to this people without knowing the promise given at the well.
Marcus, that is quite the story.
Yes.
I mean, your great-grandfather had mm-hmm. so much faith mm-hmm. and tenacious focus, saying, mm-hmm. look, we're just going to get this done. Yeah. God's given me this mission. If I don't fulfill it myself, mm-hmm. even if it takes many generations down my line, my generation line is going to do this for God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that still today, I mean, that story just stuns me. I'm like, I cannot believe, you know, that the word of God just worked through those generations, and it's at work in my life. I mean, it's so humbling, really.
When did you first hear about that story?
Well, interestingly enough, I'd actually been working out in Asia for about 5 years, and I knew the beginning part of the story. I mean, I was raised hearing a lot of these stories, so I knew the whole story about how these guys followed this donkey to the well, but I never heard about him making that prophetic proclamation in prayer. And so there was a delegation of this particular tribal group that then came after I'd been working out there for 5 years, and they came and said, we want to honor you and we want to tell you this story of what happened when we sent this delegation to your great-grandfather.
Wow.
So they told the story, and it just blew me away.
Wow.
I mean, for years afterwards, I'd tell that story and it just like rock me, you know, because you just see how God works through history.
Exactly. And also, he's a God of covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And it
right.
says that when we obey him, mm-hmm. that blessing mm-hmm. goes down to thousands of generations.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're going to come back and God talk in a while, and we're going to mm-hmm. have you share some miracle testimonies,
sure.
things that you've eyewitnessed, and some mm-hmm. of the supernatural that's mm-hmm. happened. But mm-hmm. just before we go to break, I want to say this, is that mm-hmm. each one of you carries something so special.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one like you.
That's right.
Each one of you has a destiny on the inside of you mm-hmm. that will not only be expressed in your lifetime, mm-hmm. but the seed of that faith and the seed of that yeah. obedience will visit the next generation and the generation line mm-hmm. after you, could mm-hmm. go down even to 1,000 generations.
Yeah.
And that is divine inheritance. So mm-hmm. we'll be right back. Well, Marcus, you had a great grandfather, and you had a grandfather, and you had mm-hmm. parents who were serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But what about people like me or my husband? Like, we didn't have anyone in our generation line who mm-hmm. was serving the Lord. As far as our direct generation line, I had
sure.
actually Amy Semple McPherson was a granddaughter,
really?
Or
mm-hmm.
was a cousin
okay.
of my grandfather.
Okay.
So kind of on the side,
sure.
there was that.
Still
and
works.
I know that she prayed for
sure, that's right.
probably the whole family, and God honored that. But I know that there's probably lots of people that mm-hmm. maybe don't have any Christians in their background. For my husband and I, we were the first born-again Christians mm-hmm. in our direct generation line.
Mm-hmm.
So what if we had no one to make that kind of declaration?
Yeah, it does sometimes seem a little unfair, you know, but the thing is, I go back and thinking about my great-granddad, who was such a pioneer, and as far as I know, he had nobody to speak into his life, mm-hmm. and yet he launched out. And in those days, a lot of these early missionaries, they would pull out all their teeth before they went.
Wow.
You know, in their 20s even, because they knew they wouldn't have access to dentists. And so,
oh,
I mean, these people were radical,
yeah.
okay?
That's radical.
So he goes, he's a radical, you know, missionary going out. They say he pioneered an area of 10,000 square miles on the back of a donkey. And
wow.
And so he goes out there and he speaks, you know, these words, the words of a righteous man that God honored down through the generations, but he didn't have anybody to do that for him. So I would just say, you know, just like you're on this show today.
Start the ball rolling.
Start the ball rolling. Yeah, speak into your kids' lives. You know, speak
it's
over your
awesome.
Family. Speak down in the generations. I mean, that's why God gave us this story. It's
yes.
not just about me. It's about you.
Yes.
You know, it's about all of you out there, that you can speak into your generations and your family and your people and your friends and have that same kind of impact.
I love it. What a privilege. You know, when mm-hmm. you think about it, let's
yeah.
say that our great-grandchildren down the line mm-hmm. are on a television program or something mm-hmm. testifying of mm-hmm. the faith of us,
yes.
you know, and
yeah.
saying, I'm here today because of the faith of my grandfather, the faith of my grandmother.
Sure. Yeah.
What a privilege that would be
we
to pass
build
on
the generations. Yes.
I
mean, God is so clear about that. He tracks, throughout the scriptures, you find that he tracks the generations, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
why, you know, like like Abraham was the 20th,
yep.
you know, in the generations from Adam. And God tracks all those things. He's very strategic that
yeah.
way. And he's always thinking generationally
yeah.
because he builds and builds Amen. And builds on every generation.
And that's why it's so important that you make right choices, because everything you do in this life affects your children. Mm. I've heard some people say that, oh, well, I'm just hurting myself by doing this or that or the other. No, you're hurting the generation lines. But every time you do an act for God or walk righteously or apply your faith, you are passing that blessing down to thousands of generations.
Yes.
And what a privilege that is.
Yes.
Marcus, this morning over breakfast, we were having quite a discussion about werewolves and stuff.
Yeah, very strange discussion.
Yeah, it's a very strange discussion. But there's a good point in it, because a lot of times when we have this passion, even, you know, I hear of a lot of people that have passion to go to the mission fields. I remember when I first thought about going to the mission field, I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to go out and win the nation that we were sent to you know, get them all saved and stuff like that. But when I got there, oh, my gosh,
sure.
it was just like the most grueling, the most, oh, it was a horrible time, to be honest with you.
That was my kind of experience, yes.
And But what it did to me is made me reevaluate the call, because it's not just some romantic going off into la-la land.
Yeah.
You're dealing with real spiritual warfare. Yeah. And you were sharing with me that one of the mission fields that you've served on is over in Asia, was spirits. Mm-hmm. When you first went to that nation, every nation has them, but there are different ones in each nation. But why don't you share some of that experience with us?
Sure. Well, you know, I was one of those people that went over into Asia. You know, I thought I was going to go as God's anointed vessel, you know, and you know, heal the sick and, you know, move in revelation and all these kinds of things. And when I showed up, I was dog sick for the first 2 weeks. I mean, I thought I was going to die. I was just so miserable, and I missed the trip I was supposed to make and that I'd been planning for months. And I was just so discouraged. And I went through a year and a half of trying to make something happen. I think I moved 5 times with my wife that year, and we got kicked out of the children's home we worked in. I mean, all these just hard situations. And I thought God had abandoned me. I thought he sent me out to the land of my anointing, my inheritance, all that generational history, and then said, okay, bye-bye. I was so just discouraged by that, but I didn't understand, you know, warfare, and I didn't understand how you gain authority.
Right.
And that God was actually, you know, just pulling all the helps back, all the props and all the things that would help me, you know, not be strong.
So that you could learn to battle.
So that, you know, I would actually, you know, well, and it gives you authority, because you basically buy the territory.
Yes, you know, you have to contend for it.
You earn it step by step, inch by inch, and a lot of times centimeter by centimeter. It doesn't come easy.
That's right.
But every centimeter you gain is massive. It's
right.
not small, it's massive. And that's why, you know, like in the work that we do now with Rescue with Child Soldiers, we have favor, and the countries all step into, boom, the doors just start to open up now, because we spent years of gaining inches.
You know, I found the same thing, is that every new prophetic word that God gives me to break open to the body, I hit probably every demon that's behind that word, right?
Yes, yes.
And it's like, it's lots of resistance, lots of opposition, lots of persecution, but it's true exactly what you say, is that every little inch you take, because you have to contend to even breathe, sometimes, literally, it's not exaggerating, sometimes the demonic pressure is so great against you that you have to contend in your faith to even have the next breath.
Well, it's like the spirit of Elijah or the spirit of Elisha. You know, Elijah was the man who contended and opened things up. Elisha was the person who walked in the double portion. So this is the carryover into generations.
Right.
And I, in my natural mind, I would think, well, it should be Elisha who carries the spirit that gets handed down, because he's the one that walked in the double portion.
Right.
But in Scripture, you see that it was the spirit of Elijah that John the Baptist walked in, because see, it was Elijah who gained the authority and
And sometimes both those anointings are inside the same person, because it's a different phase, right?
Sure.
Like I notice that after I go through the real hard contending phase, then I get the Elisha phase.
Mm-hmm.
The double portion comes like that.
Sure.
And that's just like what you say. It's no more contending. Mm-hmm. It's just raw authority that gets executed in the spirit. You call those things that are not as though they are, and it happens because you fought every little inch of the way back here, so you gained that authority inside.
But for me, you know, I've just thought a lot of times in my head, well, would I rather be David or would I rather be Solomon? You know, because David was the guy, King David, who battled, you know, and had blood on his hands, wasn't allowed to build the temple because of it. But, you know, and it was passed down, to, and he lived it through that next generation, through Solomon, who had all the wisdom and the glory in the kingdom. You know, but for me, I've learned to be the warrior and to get out there and get my hands dirty and bloody. And you know, I still am passionate about Jesus. I mean, he's still, you know, just like David was the great psalmist of Israel, I can still be somebody who engages. And for me, you know, this is my place.
Right.
So, you know, I've learned over time, though, I felt like it was rejection sometimes by God early on. I've learned that it's actually his blessing.
Now, you got visited as a child with warfare. You were on the mission field with your parents who were great faith-filled people. And but even on that mission field, even with that kind of covering, you got assaulted by spirits.
Yeah, well, a lot of people would think somebody like me who has this great history would never deal with warfare.
Right.
But actually, I dealt with warfare as far back as I can remember. I mean, frankly, when I was in diapers, I can remember going through just night torture and so on. And when I was in second grade, out actually in the Philippine Islands at the time, I had two werewolves show up in my room, and they had a discussion about taking me. And I was so terrified. I didn't know what to do. And I had many different encounters like this, but this one was really crystal clear and just terrifying. And so I just closed my eyes and I began to pray, because the one said, well, should we take him now or should we wait? And there was this long pause, and I waited. And then all at once, I just went to sleep. And, I woke up in the morning and I started to think about this and think about it and think about it. And I was terrified. You know, what's going to happen? Are they going to come back and, you know, go after me? And I begin to realize that, you know, wait a minute, I'm important if these guys are after me.
Right.
I mean, God must have a purpose and a plan for my life. He must really plan to use me, and he has something important
for me.
That
must have been the Holy Spirit putting that thought in your mind, I think, because, you know, just let me interrupt just for a moment.
Sure.
I just want to say, because I'm just picking up in the spirit that some of our viewers might think, oh, that was just a figment of your imagination, or there's no such thing as a werewolf or those kind of spirits or whatever. But I know... personally, I had an encounter when we were ministering over in Scotland to someone off the streets. We started ministering deliverance to them, and all of a sudden their face changed into the form of a wolf head. They growled and everything, and they, for generations, had been involved, their parents, grandparents, that, in a werewolf cult. And also, when we were in Africa years ago, we... talked to people that had been in demonic cults that had shape-shifted. In other words, going from a person's shape to a demonic animal shape and stuff like that. So these things, actually, as bizarre as they sound, they're very real.
Well, and in my family's history, we actually have, you know, a history of early on, some of the people in my family would actually go out and physically fight with these werewolves.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't understand a whole lot about spiritual warfare. We have a whole lot more teaching in the church about this today. But in those days, that's what they knew to do with it. So there was actually a carryover.
Right.
And so my family was very exposed because they were on a lot of frontline arenas. And so, but the interesting thing is, and this has been a pattern in my life, is that God will use these places of warfare to give me insight to know how to lay foundations to teach in an opposite spirit so that we have authority and can build into the people in the surrounding area so we can actually change a region.
That's
so
awesome.
So that, you know, as a, you know, young kid in second grade, God did that same thing with me where he just took a negative situation and turned it around in a positive arena.
And that's actually what fueled you for your call.
Yes.
And it identified it because you thought, well, if I'm being assaulted, then there must be something really good.
Yes.
I was just reminded of something, Marcus. My older son, he was tormented all the time as a child with nightmares. Just night after night after night, and we prayed and prayed, and I don't know, couldn't seem to get the full dominion against that torment.
Sure.
But we knew that he had a powerful call of God on his life. Even from a young child, he would go up in the back forest and pretend that he was smuggling Bibles into nations and
That's
things
awesome.
Like that.
Yeah.
And it's like almost like a proof of a call when you see that.
Yes.
And that just came to me, and it's just encouraging.
Sure, yeah, and I think that's you're probably making a point that's, you know, really good for our audience, in that, you know, when you have a child who's struggling through those kinds of things, instead of feeling condemned as parents or trying to pretend it's not happening because you're like, that's my child. How could that, you know, be happening? I love Jesus. Why would this be happening in my life? God allows us to move into conflict for the sake of life.
Right.
Actually,
he doesn't author the conflict, but he allows us the privilege, actually, of fighting through it to get the victory.
And it brings more life. It brings fresh life. If you had a body that never went into conflict,
right.
You know, it's like our bodies physically fight germs and disease and things so that we become more vibrant and healthy.
Exactly.
You know, you go work out in a gym and break down your muscles so that you become stronger.
Yeah.
In the same way, God allows us to move into the conflict so that we can actually be people full of life.
Right. So, I love it.
So, you know, so actually the warfare that we go through on the field and when we're, you know, moving into these very dark areas, it's just another way that God's giving us access to all of his rich life and abundance.
And you've seen through all the dangers, toils, and snares, you've seen the glory of God and the miracle breakthroughs of God because we serve a miracle-working Savior.
Yes, yes.
And just as we wrap up this time, I want to say to each and every one of you, just go for it in God. Put your face toward him like flint. And run your race. Don't let anything stop you.
That's right.
There might be deterrence in the way, but just determine to overcome in the name of Jesus. Don't lose your focus. Don't get discouraged. Mm. Be like Marcus and just break through no matter what, even though years of disappointment, sometimes thinking he was abandoned, but knowing that he wasn't because the word said so. Mm. And so I just invite you to stand strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might because he loves you so much and you have been called to an amazing call.
That's right.
When I mentioned earlier about my son having nightmares as a young child, I felt someone that is watching this program, it just triggered your memory and you remembered how your child suffered with the same thing. And I believe that the Lord's saying that your child has a very powerful call of God on them, even if they're not serving the Lord right now. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just break the power of this demonic resistance on that child's call and we call them forth right now out of the darkness into the light to experience the fulfillment of their call and their destiny in Jesus' name.
You know, as we've talked about this as well, I've been thinking, you know, in my own kind of journey and battle where there were many times, you know, I'd have these kinds of just lonely nights where I was, you know, demonically attacked and just crying out for God's rescue and saying, God, why aren't you here with me? Why aren't you helping me? And then one night after months and months of this struggle, I all at once realized, you know, that nothing would separate me from God's love that is in Christ Jesus for me. And I just want to say to many of you that are out there today that, you know, for so many of you, nothing will separate you from God's love. And you could be going through these kinds of terrors, night terrors, and demonic dreams and so on. But Jesus' love is there for you. And Jesus' love is more powerful than anything else. And I just say that the fear needs to go right now in the name of Jesus. And we just speak the peace of God into your hearts and into your lives and into your night season. And that you're not separated from the love of Jesus. You're not separated from Jesus' love. But his love is there for you through the whole thing. Even when you go through torment, you're not separated from the love of Jesus. And the love of Jesus has the power to break off every single darkness in your life.
I see a vision right now of knitting needles. And there's a garment being knit. And somewhere along the line, a stitch slipped. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of a hole in the garment. And what I feel like the Lord's showing me is that someone watching this program, that you feel like that's you. You think, I had a call to the mission field. I went. Mm. I got discouraged. And then I just gave up. And so you continued on with your life, but there's this little hole in the garment. And I feel like God's saying that he's going to call you to pick up the slipped stitch. And he's going to open up an opportunity for you to go back on that mission field, and you're going to redeem the time because he is a redeemer of the time. You've always felt bad about what happened there, but God is going to bring it back into fullness and into wholeness. And so just seek him on this, because the way is going to be open for you.
I see also for some of you, you know, you've been hearing us talk, and your heart is really stirred for children, especially children that would feel torment. And I just say that, you know, you can go to these children and you can pray for them in your closet and you can pray for them in person, and that God is going to give some of you a very deepened sense of awareness of his heart for these kinds of kids that have gone through torment in the night season. You'll be sensitive to this. And even some of you may be walking through a Sunday school class or walking through your church, and you'll see a child who you just see the spirit of torment on them, and you're going to be able to speak to them in the name of Jesus. And I just agree with you that you're going to go in with God's authority, and you're going to speak over these kids, and you're going to release life to them. Just look them right in the eye and just speak God's love and peace, and that's going to break right off of them.
There's someone whose parent went on the mission field. It was actually a short-term mission experience, and something happened, and as a result, they actually died. And it was such a trauma on you, and you've been brokenhearted ever since, and even alienated from God, not wanting even to walk with him because you felt like he took your parents. He didn't take your parent. It was the enemy. It says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it in abundance. And I don't understand everything that goes on behind the scenes in the realm of the spirit. But one thing I know is that God is love and God is just. And what he wants you to do right now is just rise up and fall into his arms and just let him love you back into comfort and strength, because there is a call of God on your life, and you will rise up strong in this, and there's a new level of his love and new levels of insight and revelation that is going to come to you in these coming days if you'll just fall into him and let him take the pain. There are answers, and you might not have the answers until you finish in this life. But one thing you can know is that God is good, and that there's great reward in heaven, an eternal reward for your parent who suffered and who went through what they went through. There's great reward for them. And somehow, some way, it's all going to be okay at the end of the day. But just stay strong now and follow God.